Hey everybody, it's Emily here to talk to you about Adam and Eve. Spring is in the air, but is it in your step? Is it in your bed? If you're interested in better sex starting now, go to adamandeve.com. They've got toys, lingerie, accessories, everything you need to level up your pleasure checks. And right now, Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Plus, free shipping, which includes rush processing. That's discreet shipping, plus 100% free shipping with rush processing on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly, free and fast. So just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy or anything you desire. Just enter offer code PAWPAW at checkout. That's PAWPAW, P-A-W-P-A-W at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to this podcast, so be sure to use code PAWPAW to get your discount, 100% free shipping, and get it fast with rush processing. Code P-A-W-P-A-W. Goodbye, sweeties.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Dungeon, 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 dungeon,
dungeon,
dungeon,
dungeon, dungeon,
dungeon.
Welcome to Dungeon Court, everybody.
Dun,
dun, dun.
The return.
The return. Hang on. Give us a second. My goodness. We are your supreme. Let's start with the most important. We are your supreme.
Come on.
Crit justices.
You haven't
Murphy,
seen me in 2 months,
Axford,
dude.
Axford and Tanner. And of course, the return of the lowly.
No, some would say he's
lost status since he's been gone. Bailiff Jake, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for having me, I guess. The warm welcome. Really appreciate it. You're not getting no respect in my house either.
Well, in this court. The kid's actually grown up. She's out of the house now. You're good to go. You're back.
If you could come a little closer so that I can puke on you, because I know that you're used to that now, and I feel like it reminds you of your station.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. That means her stomach doesn't hurt anymore. Love the puke.
And you know the Hurwitzes do not know how to burp.
No, we don't.
Oh, I never thought of that.
Oh, it's just 24/7 tummy troubles.
I'm doing everything I can to make her constitution Jill's and not mine.
Right.
That was a fun discovery this past week. I was at the beach with Susan Sid. Sid inherited my sun tanning ability and not Suze's.
Oh, nice.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
It's really fun to see how the genetics play out, Jake. I know the boat that you are in. And it was a nice discovery because Suze went to the beach and now she has a rash on her leg.
There you go.
Oh, my God. I'll toss her in the sun today and see how it goes.
Yeah. Give her some shrimp, toss her in the sun. You really got to test out those allergies, man.
All right, with that, let's throw to the Bailiff Jake.
Oh, my God. It gives me great pleasure to be back and to say, hear ye, Crit is back in session.
Yes.
Please, is the court.
The Honorable Supreme Crit Justices Axford, Murphy, and Tanner are presiding. Our first case today comes from Spencer C. Spencer writes, "Greetings, magnanimous judges. Oh, Jake, didn't see you there. Could you hang up my coat? I told you guys." I get no respect.
Off to a great start.
Yeah.
It's like they got the memo.
They win any tiebreakers?
"My friends and I were joining a pre-existing campaign in our first ever D&D campaign. The group had already started Tomb of Annihilation, and we rolled in as they reached the island of Chult. As we explored Port Nyanzaru, we stopped at a crowd to watch executioners run, where criminals race through a dinosaur pit trying to win their freedom."
Okay, whoa, fun. Cool. I love this. This is very fun.
Yeah.
"My character, a lever..." No.
You laughed at it.
You just ruined it. You just gave was so funny that no. Now it's saying it. I was gonna let it slip, and then that no was too funny. You fucked yourself.
Fuck. "My lever 4 fighter named Jan Etor thought this was a good distraction and tried to pick someone's pocket. When the DM asked why I would do that, I responded, 'My character is chaotic neutral and it sounds fun.'
Oof.
He grunted, 'That's not what chaotic neutral means.' But I rolled sleight of hand and was noticed. When the guards came over to arrest me, I cast Thunderstep to give myself some room to escape. When the DM asked why I would do that, I responded, my character is chaotic neutral and it sounds fun. Again came the, that's not what chaotic neutral means. After my spell knocked a few of them down, the DM narrated that more guards came and this is sparted me into the executioner's run pit where I was promptly torn apart by velociraptors.
Okay, I was about to be like, oh, that's a fun direction. I think, what
there's
happened?
There's no heroes in this story. There's no heroes in this story.
We were only 30 minutes in. I had to sit there for 3 more hours while everyone else finished the session.
Your DM didn't like your vibe. I'm sorry.
You should have gone home.
Your DM didn't like your vibe.
You should have gone and done the dishes.
Yeah, go on, Jake. Sorry.
I humbly ask you, was I wrong to explore my chaotic nature, or was the DM a dinosaur choice for entry into D&D?
I think you are a match made in hell.
Right off the bat, I wish you had left alignment stuff out of it. I would feel more sympathy if you said, it just seems fun.
Yeah.
And didn't say alignment stuff.
Yeah, here's it is a famous, like, that guy at the table thing to be like, I'm chaotic neutral. That's what my character would do. Mm-hmm. That's an extreme, like, just the rogue that steals everything, that's like a murder hobo and everything, that's like a thing that's like kind of a no-no in D&D. At first, I'm kind of like knee-jerk, this sounds like maybe not the vibe that I would want to run. And also, your character is in a situation where they're watching prisoners run for their lives. If you get caught stealing, these people are clearly
prisoners
not were
probably
nice.
Probably in jail for stealing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, these people are not kind to people. Apparently.
That's a really good.
However, I will say that even though there are no heroes in this story, that means the DM is also not a hero, because I do think them saying that's not what chaotic neutral isn't really true. It is kind of what chaotic neutral is.
You're just kind of whatever.
I will say this till the day I die, I don't understand alignment, guys. I don't think anyone else does either.
It's weird to box yourself in.
I think alignment is like wine. Everyone's pretending like they get it.
Put that on a freaking bumper sticker.
Yeah, dude.
And put it on the front windshield.
Yeah.
So I feel like if neither of you had talked about alignment stuff, you wouldn't have had this weird, no, I'm actually right. Not only is my choice fun, it's actually correct.
The moves weren't that egregious to me either. Mm-hmm. Like, it's not like you tried to shove a watcher into the dino pit. Like, you tried to pick a pocket and you tried to shove some guards down to run away. It's got to be the name Jan Etor, right? Like,
that's not helping. It's not helping.
Yeah.
Wait, what is that? Yeah, is that a reference?
Janitor.
Yeah.
Oh, Jan, Jan. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Right. Yeah. It's spelled Janitor.
Okay.
Pronounced Jan
Etor. I love the name Jan.
Yeah. It sounds. Right. Yeah. I think Murph is right.
It's not like you're picking a pocket in a public square. You're picking a pocket while watching prisoners run.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're watching. Yeah.
So you're in a punitive place.
Yeah. There's got to be some other energy going into this that's not like, oh, I want to pick this pocket. It seems fun. Like, you have to be bringing something.
I do agree with that, but here's what I will say. This is why the DM is also not a hero. It sounds like they just cutscene through the player into the pit or whatever. Yeah. It's like, if you fail...
This is Sparta. That doesn't
make any sense. If somebody tries to pick a pocket and then has to burn a third level spell to Thunderstep out of there, that to me is just like, cool. If you really want to push the fact that this is like, they've got a crazy military force in the city or something like that and they don't tolerate anything, run the combat properly, have the guards doing dash actions after this person, have them looking for them. Just the idea of being like, well, they thunderstepped out of there and then he just had some guards yeet me back into the, like, raptor pit or whatever. You can't, like, that's bullshit.
The DM clearly was looking for blood. They wanted to punish this player.
They didn't want that chaotic neutral rogue at the table.
I think they wouldn't have gone so hard after this person if they hadn't said, I'm chaotic neutral, it's what my character do.
Right.
And if they had just said, it just seems kind of fun, can I try and pick pocket somewhere?
Exactly. I mean, I've been at many tables where people have doubled down on stupid ideas. I'm all for it. I think it's fun. I love seeing the DM kind of like bite their lip a little bit and kind of behind the table trying to figure out how to handle that situation. But clearly this DM was not having it.
Yeah.
And you should have picked up on a few cues there, but you certainly didn't.
Right.
Yeah. You know what else? This person is saying their friends, like them and their friends were joining a pre-existing campaign.
Yeah. Oh.
So this DM does need to like lay down the law and establish something like really early on. Like, do not fuck with me. So like they obviously killed Yanni Tor to like make an example of them so everyone else fell in line.
Reading between the lines here, it does sound like the equivalent of like if it was our game or something and then we had a guest on and it was like some kind of some moment that was going to be kind of scary or something like that and someone's just like, I steal stuff. I steal stuff. I want to steal stuff.
God. And you're just Hugo.
Like, oh, okay. Yeah, it'd be like kind of if we threw Hugo into like the Frozen saga or something.
Really?
Just be
only,
like, I kill Hugo.
Though, only Amir can play Hugo.
Yeah, that's true.
I wouldn't trust a single other person I know to make that work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It helps that he doesn't know how to play or what he's doing.
That's what makes him a master. He's playing the piano blindfolded.
It's also honestly like I like you guys are saying, you guys are right. It's not a big deal to just have somebody steal. It's not even it to me, it's just so reminiscent about that type of player that when somebody is like, I go and pickpocket every NPC I see, I'm chaotic neutral. That's what my character would do. That's like three red flags to me in three sentences in the first half hour that you've sat down at this table.
Yeah.
So I am like, I'm sorry, I can't trust you. I can't trust you. But I will say, just looking at the facts here, I think that the DM did do you dirty. There were better ways to handle this.
I respect that you continued to chill for the 3 hours. I hope that you were emotionally supportive to the players that remained.
You sat there for 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's contrition.
Yeah.
I feel like you served your time.
You served your sentence. I think because of the alignment thing, I think I would say you were in the wrong, but you kind of served your sentence.
Yeah, 3 hours in silence at somebody else's D&D table while your friends get accepted into the group.
Just pulling out your Nintendo Switch and be like, that's just how I play.
Yeah. That would be bad.
Yeah.
What is Tomb of Annihilation like?
I don't know it.
Isn't it kind of like Tomb of Horrors? Isn't it like a brutal module?
There's a whole module, a whole world,
a whole bunch of different stuff. That gives like an almost interesting take.
It's called
like
the Tomb of Annihilation.
Tomb of Annihilation, and
they're like, these prisoners are running for their lives. And you're
okay,
like, what's
I'm
up? My name's Janitor. I pickpocket a wallet of this Roman gladiator, and then I try to run away. The DM, if they want to, you know, have your character face consequences, you got to do that shit by the book. There's a million ways.
They
could have been like, I roll, you thunderstep. Where are you going? I'm going to go over to this area. Okay, do a perception check before you do it to see if that area is safe. Let's go ahead and roll and see if there's any dudes there. Run a chase scene.
Dude, yeah, they could have let one of the velociraptors loose after
it. It could have been cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's no reason to cut scene kill you.
Mm-hmm.
So even though
they just had you join the run, but genuinely let you try to roll to save yourself.
Just,
that
I got
would
ripped
be
apart.
Kind of
it's
fun.
Crazy. I think there are no heroes in this story.
No,
but I have to choose the lesser of two evils, and you are the lesser of two evils.
You should have at least gotten a third chance to say that's what chaotic neutral is.
Yeah, once you thunderstepped out of there, burning a third level spell, I think, is enough to be like, okay, that's the punishment. Is you had to burn a third level spell just to not get the two silver you would have gotten.
Yeah, you should have gotten a third chance to be a dick and then get kicked out.
Mm-hmm. I will say that it does sound like everything worked out though, because I don't think you all would have had fun together. that's how it sounds to me. So we're on your side. We do have to punish this DM, and I think the punishment is that we need to resurrect Janitor.
Just
needs to deal with Janitor.
Wait, but what if when we resurrect Janitor, Janitor's had an alignment change?
And they're a velociraptor now?
They're a lawful evil falafel raptor.
They sell the giveaway falafel.
Yeah.
That's so generous.
So generous, so ordered. Yanni Tor is a falafel raptor. It's good to be back. Our next case comes from Bliss the Crick Miss. I'd like to present the case of a withered vine versus fairy. During the break between sessions, our DM messaged us to tell us we leveled up during the previous session. Cool. This was critical since we were totally effed and almost certain TPK, party split, failed stealth, basically everything went wrong.
Got it.
Between sessions, I came up with a baller plan to save us. I took Wither and Bloom as my new spell to heal my passed out friend.
Ooh.
And I'd use my Chronergy magic a la Fia Bonkinia. But when I tried to use it during combat to heal my party member, the DM ruled that I didn't have the necessary spell components to cast the spell because I didn't have a withered vine twisted into a loop in my inventory.
Oh, that's bullshit.
What? And I hadn't had time to gather the material components of the spell, so I wouldn't be able to cast it. Then the DM narrated the other half of our split party winning their insane battle and traveling across the map to save our sorry doomed behinds between rounds. Ooh. Is there justice for my cool plan, or should I have been foiled by the withered vine?
I guess it really depends on how much of a stickler your DM is about components at every
all
other
the time.
Well, I think so. Like, both Murph and Brennan are not sticklers about spell components, except for like steeper costs, you know, like revivifies and stuff like that, which I think is a totally fair way to play. I also think it is hypothetically fun to play with spell components. However, a withered vine feels like something that you could so easily have.
Oh, that's a short rest, baby.
Also,
I feel like the purpose of these, you know, low cost like spell components and everything, like characters would be like out of game essentially be collecting these things as they go, knowing what's coming up.
Yeah. Does any DM want their characters to be like, wait one second, I need to crawl on the floor of the forest.
We did
have a question from someone who was like, I DM for a group and they do want spell components to be an aspect. And I was like, that's really cool.
Yeah.
But that's kind of like more of a like group decision.
Right.
And there are certain spell components that I think beyond like the revivify diamonds that I think I could see a DM being like, no, we actually do want this to be important. I just think a withered vine is not it.
To me, that's purely for flavor. That's so that you can like look at your spell and be like, okay, I have this. This is how I'm going to like narrate casting the spell. This is just like something to give me like a little more of a view into the mind of a wizard. I think that that's like totally inadmissible.
This is making me want to look up a list of different spell components so I can say like which ones it would actually make sense to make have stakes and which ones like a withered fucking vine that you could maybe just find at your fucking feet.
Yeah. I feel like most of the spell components that are hard to get are just, it's just cost. And it's just so you don't make a simulacrum
cost
50 times.
Or rarity.
Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But it's stuff like, I think one of them is like, you know, a twist of black licorice or something like that.
Just like, it's just like, okay, just get that.
You just go to the movie theater.
Yeah. You just go to the AMC.
Can we forage for spell components at the movie theater? I need an empty popcorn tub.
I need one Mike and one Ike.
I need a Coca-Cola with just a dash of cherry Coke in there.
I need a Batman 1989 collector's cup.
Wouldn't a wizard just kind of like have all of these things and like a wizard spell component starter kit, like even if they don't know the spell yet?
So that's my point is that I feel like that's almost a given that a character would be collecting these things as they go along, unless that's part of your
game.
There
are some that are a little, so my point is like withered vine is like so like in nature, but there are some like alarm needs a tiny bell. And I would be okay with a DM being like, we got to get you that tiny bell.
We got to get you that tiny bell. But I think it's all or nothing, right? It's if these like common, cheap spell items that like characters could just get pretty quickly, either be a stickler about it or don't be a stickler.
Yeah. Right?
I think that it kind of sucks to just have it be like,
I also don't mind like, bless is sprinkling of holy water. That makes sense to me that you would need to find that. Whereas beast bond is bit of fur wrapped in cloth. Again, that just feels like something that if you've been walking through the forest, you can find that.
Hair is fur. Just pull out your own hair, wrap it in your t-shirt.
True.
Good.
That's our next D&D case. I tried to use my own hair as fur in a spell.
I tried to use my pubes.
But I am chaotic neutral.
While I was chaotic neutral, that's what my character would do, is rip his pubes out.
So my question is hair pubes, is pubes fur?
Is pubes fur?
Like, false life is small amount of alcohol or distilled spirits. I would say easy. You got that. You just have that. That's so ubiquitous. But
ultimately, it just comes down to, is this something that happens in the game?
Yeah.
Every time you cast a spell.
You got to watch your DM like a hawk. That's what you have to do. To know if you were actually wrong, do you have to watch your DM like a hawk for the rest of your campaign?
My big takeaway here is that we should all start carrying tiny bells, and just like whenever somebody says something funny or like you, something that you like, just give them a little thumbs up in real life. Ring, just give them a little ring-a-ding.
Oh, no. Didn't that like, that like ruined the College Humor camping trip one year? There was like a joke bell.
Oh my gosh, that was
there was
terrible.
A joke bell?
Every time somebody made a good
Humor
joke, somebody would hit up the bell.
It was like a concierge bell, though, and it was like placed in the middle of the table, and we were like all hanging out and, take, and making jokes.
I had nothing to do with the joke bell.
Awful.
It was just very, very stressful. Nobody liked it.
Yeah. I'm talking about a bell just for your bros for when they like do something good. You're just like, hey, great work. It's kind of like slapping somebody on the back or doing a high five. It's like a long distance high five. Just
it sounds nice in theory, but then I start wondering why that bell isn't being rung, you know?
Yeah,
I bring you a coffee and you don't ring the bell. I'm like, what's going on here?
What, no bell ring?
Yeah.
No bell ring for that?
It's not okay.
I start to need it and I don't want that.
That's true. All right.
I gotta say, I'm looking through spell components and they're super fun.
I'm thinking about my
next character being really into spell components.
Yeah.
Like, or even Sanctuary requires a small silver mirror. I think anything natural or ubiquitous, you're like, you just have that. But if you want to... If you want to do spell components, like there are some.
Yeah, like a campaign being like a scavenger hunt in a way would be cool, especially if there's some, like, a spell that really needs to be cast and we need a certain component.
I could
get into that.
Tasha's Caustic Brew.
Uh-huh.
A bit of rotten food. Who doesn't have that?
Easy. I have it all the time.
Yeah, I got some of that in my fridge.
It's got some old green beans.
Yeah.
I'm just picturing like the party that is following spell components so closely, and they've all just got massive Jansports. They've just got like huge backpacks full of spell components. Mm. Every monster is hearing them 200 feet away because they're jangling. They've got so many little fucking bells. They've got little mirrors rattling around in their pockets.
Yeah.
I'm just saying like...
But I love that though. Yeah. I feel like that's so... Okay, Tensor's floating disc, a drop of mercury.
Okay, that's
not everywhere.
That's not
you gotta find
I know
that.
that's not everywhere, but
that's my point, is that the withered vine is not the one to
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But I guess what I'm saying is, if your character is a wizard and you're learning these spells or whatever, I think common sense would say that your character knows what they're gonna get next level or whatever, and they're studying these things.
This is making me really want to do
more.
This making me really want to do a game show for us where I list the spell components and you try and guess the spells because they're so funny.
Do it.
I'll do one right
one
now.
Round. Okay.
One round.
Everybody get your little bells ready.
It's impossible.
A piece of string and a bit of wood.
What the fuck?
A piece of string. ding-a-ling-a-ling-ling. Mind sliver?
What?
No, hang on. Incorrect.
Okay. Piece of string and a piece of wood?
And a bit of wood.
And a bit
a
of...
A piece of string and a bit of wood.
Does the soul and the body good?
I'll say that's
is rope trick? Is rope trick a spell?
Ooh, that's a good guess, but it is incorrect.
I'll say tree stride.
Also, you didn't ring your bell, Jake.
The correct answer makes no sense. It's unseen servant.
Okay.
What?
Yeah, no, it's dumb.
Oh, like a puppet. Like a puppet. Like a marionette.
Like a puppet. Like a marionette puppet.
Just you're like, so you know how it's just like a piece
of
wood.
And now I love this game show. And now I love the game show.
Let's see if we can get a single one right. Let's do another.
I want another.
Yeah.
Okay. See, it's fun.
It's very fun. I love it.
I'm just frustrated. I just want to prove that this is dumb then as much as I.
So if you don't get one right, you win.
I loved Merv's Jeopardy episode. We just freaked out.
This one has four spell components.
Okay.
Okay, that'll be more helpful, honestly.
Yeah?
Number one, bat fur.
Bat fur.
Number two, drop of pitch. Whoa. Number three, piece of coal. Number four, piece of dried carrot.
Fuck, what is the one that gives you dark vision?
Is it just dark vision?
You're so fucking close. It's not dark vision.
Is it something with sound then? With
bats? Is it silence?
No.
No.
Darkness?
It's darkness! Oh, okay. That was good, Merv! That was good!
Ding, 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 ding.
Why the carrot?
Why the carrot? Great question.
This is really interesting because now Murph got one right, and now do you still think it's dumb or do you think it's pretty cool?
I am proud of myself for sort of getting it right.
Wait a second. I messed up. The pinch of I just read dark at the beginning of them. The pinch of dried carrot is actually for dark vision.
Oh, that makes sense. The beta carotene, yeah.
It was actually just piece of coal, bat fur, and drop of pitch for darkness. Mm-hmm. And then dark vision is pinch of dried carrot and agate.
See, I would have gotten it if I'd known that.
That was, you were correct.
Because the carrot improves your vision.
Yeah. It's all checked out.
Okay.
Okay. Kind of a good game show to me. I mean, I'm not going to try it.
The punishment is they have to host this game show.
Yeah.
I want to watch this game show. So that's
impressive because Jane Lynch auditioned.
I do love the idea of us doing this game show with Emily as the host and me as the star contestant who hates the show. Because I do think I would fucking womp you guys.
For sure.
Yeah.
By amount of words read in the player's handbook alone, you're miles beyond us.
Because I've mostly played for Brennan and Murph. Like, I read my spells. I never look at the components. I don't look at, it's a blur to me. I don't even look at it.
Murph's podium is the only one that's destructible.
Yeah, God. Fuck, I do kind of love this game show. We'll do another one later.
Who is the, the star Jeopardy contestant?
Ken Jennings.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you'd be the anti-Ken Jennings.
Ruling on this? Because we do have to rule on this.
I forgot what we were talking about. I genuinely don't remember.
So it was the dried vine thing.
It was the withered vine. Oh, yeah. I'm ruling against your DM because mm-hmm. withered vine is so ubiquitous in nature. I just feel like, honestly, if you accidentally wear too fuzzy of socks or something, mm-hmm. you might just have a withered vine clinging to you from walking through the forest.
Yeah, well, it's got to be twisted into a small noose, I think is what it says. But that's easy enough to do.
You can do that easily.
Yeah.
I can do that with a cherry in my mouth.
With the info we have.
That's hot.
It's so sexy. Really hot. Everyone shut the fuck up. With the information we have.
Can you do it now? Can you give Bob a cherry?
Oh my God, he's doing it right now.
Stupid game show.
Everyone stop.
Show some fucking respect to the goddamn champion of the fucking Star Component show.
He's choking on it.
Good.
It's so hot.
Oh my gosh.
So fucking hot.
I want to give him the Heimlich maneuver, but I'm too turned on.
He died in the hottest way possible.
I was trying to do a sheep shank. Okay. With the information we have right here, since this person is shocked mm-hmm. that they needed to prove that they had the spell components, that would suggest to me that that is not the game they've been playing.
Yeah, that's
so
true too.
With that information, I'm going to side with the player. However, if we heard from the DM and the DM's like, yeah, they've always had to forage for this stuff. They've always had to do this stuff. I would flip my vote. So mm-hmm. tentatively on your side, I hope I can trust you because you're making me look like a dummy if I can't, okay?
You're going to make him flip his podium.
You're going to make me flip the podium, and we know I'm on edge right now because I'm the champion of a game show. I don't like it. But I'm kind of addicted to the idea that I might get another question right, and so I do want to keep playing.
My name's Murph, and I hate this game, but God, I love it.
I'm decent at it. But goddamn.
What a curse to be good at something you don't like.
Yeah.
The only addendum I would make here is that I feel like the DM was being too hard, and it's very easy to just be like, okay, roll me a history save to see if you remembered to stalk this.
Oh, yeah. Do like a wisdom save.
Wisdom save with advantage or with like your proficiency.
That's a fun suggestion, Caldwell.
Yeah, that's a good in the middle thing.
Yeah, that's what the DM should have done, but they didn't, and they're wrong.
True, so we're punishing this DM mm-hmm. to host... Name that spell!
Name that spell!
No, let's call it Spelling Bee and make it very confusing.
Spelling Bee, because bees are probably a component of something.
Probably, yeah.
Right.
Wait, it's just called Spelling Bee?
It's called Spelling Bee.
Name that Spelling Bee?
What?
Oh, wow.
This is not good. No, we need to, we'll workshop this as we go on. I think this DM's punishment is like I forget who said this before, but just you raising your hand every single time you cast a spell, asking if you have those components.
Yeah,
oh, just constantly just really... being like, can I look for some licorice here? Can I find a penny? Can I go look for a piece of hair?
I was going to say, yeah, just like starting to really, like your DM has to narrate from now on all the procurement and foraging of all spell components.
I need fur, so I am going to shave this dead bugbear, and I am going
to
take my time.
I do need
it.
To take a detour to hunt down a bugbear, mm-hmm. so I love your story, interested in where it's going, but I am going to need 3 episodes to find and skin
it's
a bugbear.
It's just what my character would do. Yeah,
I'm going to have to crawl, so it's going to take me a minute, because I need to look for stuff on the ground.
Give them a taste of their component heavy medicine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Do you guys wonder hearing this story if this DM was excited about the prospect of team 2 saving team 1?
I think they
and
were,
perhaps
I
got
think they
distracted
were at
by
fault
that.
For
yeah.
that. I think that was the reason for it. I think they had a cool idea in their head. And sometimes the cool idea in your head isn't as cool as the one that organically comes up at the table. So the fact that your players are so invested in the game that away from table time, they're like coming up with a plan and they show up and they have a cool thing to do. It's so silly to me to punish that. I would understand honestly more. I think be more on this DM side if they were like, yeah, one of the characters died because we didn't have the components, because then it was like, oh, okay, the DM wanted to make this a deadly encounter and then realized that them having new spells was going to completely take away stakes. I still think that's not great, but I think the like having them get saved anyway just by a different party and just undoing their spells
and
is
why,
silly.
And why level them up?
I have a suggestion of a punishment. Ooh. This DM, because presumably all adventuring groups are doing a decent amount of camping.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This DM has to go camping and tell me they don't come home covered in little bits of nature.
Yeah.
I feel like every time you go for a hike, little bits of nature cling to you.
Oh.
You're going to, the second you break down that tent, it's going to have bits of wither.
Well, much like a dog, M does grab interesting sticks and put them in our car.
Of course.
And then I have to throw
them
out.
They find me.
Right. Yeah, no. M brings interesting sticks. Yeah.
So this DM is going on a walk through the woods, and then we're gonna hit them with a lint roller?
In Velcro. Yeah.
Yeah.
If we find one fucking piece of Queen Anne's lace, you're done.
If we,
dude.
You're toast.
Yeah, dude. We're going to have Caldwell tie you into knot in his fucking mouth.
Oh, actually, that's it. I think this DM gets tied into a knot in Caldwell's mouth. That's perfect. That's
come on
perfect.
In.
So hot.
That's it. That's so hot.
So hot. So ordered.
So hot.
So fucking hot.
So fucking hot.
I'll try not to break your bones.
But I can't promise about your heart.
Whoa.
It's that hot.
Hey there, Nadpoles. This episode is brought to you by Aura Frames. Are you looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Well, look no further. Aura Frames are the beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. My mom, my mother-in-law, and my grandmother-in-law all have Auras from me, and they love them. So from grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, and even the friends in your life, every mom loves an Aura frame. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. Trademark, brother. Aura frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages. They're easy to set up. They are the perfect gift, and they've got unlimited storage, unlimited photos and videos. You can invite as many people as you want to a frame. There are absolutely no hidden fees or subscriptions. How beautiful is that? And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That is Aura, A-U-R-A, Frames.com. Use the code PAWPAW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply. Thank you, everybody.
Howdy, Nadpoles. Caldwell here with a very important question. Do you like spending money? I sure do. Every time I give away my money, chances are good I'm going to get something I want in return. It's a pretty sweet deal. But sometimes I find myself paying for things I'm not even using. And when that happens, I end up having less money in my bank to spend on things I do want. Ridiculous, right? Luckily, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's features. So stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That is rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. One more time, that's rocketmoney.com/pawpaw. That's it for me. Thanks for listening and happy savings.
Okay, our next case comes from Dylan R. Dylan writes, to the magnanimous justices and the freshly new dad, Jim. Aww. Not quite, but I appreciate
it. Close. That's Buzz. So sweet. Wait, what is your name? It's not Jim?
It's James.
Oh, James.
You call me Jim.
James.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Your daughter calls you Jim.
Yeah. Yeah, she speaks. James. She's 7 weeks old. She learned to disrespect me early. I ask as a part of an issue my party had with, let's call it, trap dementia. Okay. Our party is in a dungeon where we are about midway through, where we have just finished going through two traps, one which was a hallway where if you were not standing in the correct spots, you were zapped with lightning. Okay. And the other, which was even simpler, a fountain that if you stood next to it for a full round, it would attack you with the statue. We got through this part and found a room where we could rest, so we did a long rest. The next adventuring day, we had to eventually go back through there, and the DM, instead of hand-waving it since we found the solution for letting us do the correct motions to get through safely, had all of us do intelligence saves, and if we failed, we somehow triggered the trap. And in my case, I went down from 89 HP to 11 due to being critted on since I rolled a nat 1. The other players were fine with this as no PC is smart in our party, but it just feels rude. Am I correct in being outraged and allowed to complain louder about this, or is the DM doing a bad job of using resources?
They're doing.
I don't know that you
DM's
can
doing a bad job.
I don't. You can be correct about this, but I don't know that the solution is to complain louder about it. But I think that this was a bullshit.
Yeah, this was bullshit. If you wanted to, I don't know. The DM could be like, you can do an athletics check or an acrobatics check to run back through this room like as quick as you can or something like that. Because it's like, I get the DM's logic of like, the trap is still live, so there are still dangers. But what was the trap was just if you stand in a certain spot, you get hit by lightning.
You definitely
and if you
remember,
go near the fountain, you get
you
hit.
You definitely
you just
remember
avoid that,
that
shit.
Just,
yeah.
I feel like this person, if they wanted this like little stakes, if like maybe you guys like during your long rest, like, were like imbibing of some flask or something like that. And they were like, okay, are you going to remember the DC to get that should have been 5.
It feels like if you learn something you need to apply the next day, then it makes sense to be like, do you remember? But this was solved. You solved it. You spent time solving it.
It's like, do you remember the security code on your phone? Go ahead and roll an intelligence saving throw. It's like,
you just slept all night. Do you still remember the security?
Do you remember the password?
You haven't had coffee yet. You haven't had coffee yet.
You haven't had it yet. Yeah, think about it.
Unless everyone in your party is donkeys and they've got donkey stats.
Yeah. I still think, I mean,
which
animals do like
they
learn.
Donkeys.
They learn stuff.
Actually, animals have pretty good memories.
That's true. They would learn pretty quick not to stand in the spot that gets them hit by lightning and also the fountain that attacks them. They'd be so afraid of it. A donkey could solve this puzzle.
Yeah.
A donkey fully could solve this puzzle.
The only reason they can't use an iPhone is because of their hooves.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the only reason. And if you put it on speakerphone, a donkey can order a pizza.
Kind of.
It's a problem on farms.
Yeah, it's a huge problem on farms.
If we could just get a little extension that goes over their hoof that is like a little hand, they could be using phones.
They could be using phones.
They could be using the security
code.
I'll
tell you something.
Dialing the pizza restaurant.
You're worried about AI? What you need to be worried about is donkeys with gloves.
Donkey.
A little less worried about AI and a little more worried about hee-haw.
Thank you. Hey, thank you.
You're welcome, bro.
This is our... I don't know what kind of radio show this is. I don't know what kind of political views these guys have, but I don't trust them. I'll tell you that much. Whatever these characters are, I don't trust them.
Okay, so we clearly want to sentence the DM, and yeah. I think that we need to sentence them
to help donkeys.
To help
pieces.
Donkeys yeah. fit.
Well, no, to help to control the donkeys control who are already donkeys. Doing this. Because we know that they can, and we know that it's a problem on farms.
We know that they will,
and they will. Yeah. So
basically,
we,
you need to go door to door to different farms and be like, "Are the donkeys behaving? Yeah. Are they ordering pizzas? I can so they, fix this.
This is sort of a two prong fix.
Pizza. Yeah. You know, you need to go to pizza joints.
Need to go to Domino's.
Be like, hey, what is the last? What can I see a list of all the orders you had? Mm-hmm. And when you see like a couple like Maisie the donkey,
yeah,
or you see ones that are like heavy on like the hay, where you're like adding a lot of hay to the order.
Oh mm-hmm. yeah,
cheese pizza. Add the hay.
Well, yeah. Really, you would do like a reverse search of the address to see how big the parcel of land is, because if it's over 5 acres, that might be a
that
farm.
That could be
and
a
then
farm.
You just visit, because the donkey could have an alias.
Yeah,
and the donkey would also as delivery. They'd be like, don't leave it on the stoop, just throw it over the fence near the donkeys. And that is the biggest red flag.
Charge it to the cart and throw it over the fence.
Yeah. So yeah, you need to become an advocate for farmers donkey getting ripped off by donkeys. Yeah.
Okay.
So ordered.
Okay.
So ordered.
So ordered. Who did we punish?
We punished the DM.
The DM.
Great. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The DM is looking into donkey
the donkey
minder.
Like a donkey ordering a pizza. I don't remember what the DM did anymore because it got so
They
off.
Made them do intelligence saves to remember the trap. Yeah.
Right. No, and a donkey could solve that puzzle. Yeah. You know what that reminds me of? Go back in circles.
What's funny is I can't remember my password anymore because of that conversation.
Yeah, that's true. It has removed everything. My brain has been wiped.
And that is what the donkeys want.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So ordered. Our next case comes from M. Scott A. M. Scott writes, "To the ones who I trust the most and the bailiff, thank you."
He likes you, he just doesn't trust you.
Yeah, I'm not trustworthy. I bring you the case of too many NPCs. Recently, in discussion with two of my DMs, I was accused of creating too many NPCs in my backstory. In one case, my 300-year-old Firbolg has two parents, 5 siblings, 2 of whom were missing, a dead wife, an ex-husband, a mayor who ran him out of town, and 8 Waterdeep residents that the DM gave me when I asked, who do I know here?
Oh, so it's who do I know here? Okay,
In the case of my former elf reincarnated into a gnome, I have 2 parents and 3 siblings, none of whom he talks to, and 4 adventurers who had gotten him killed as an elf who are all MIA. They say it's too much for them to keep up with in addition to what they are already doing, although they both accepted my backstories. I argue that I'm giving them people from my character's life that they can pick and choose who to use and help bring my character into their story. I even make some of them MIA for plot hooks they are free to take advantage of. Most of them are just names, relations, and how my character feels about them. Am I right in trying to help my DMs by doing a little world building them. For them? Or am I placing too much on their already heavy shoulders? And I should just make boring lone wolf orphans who haven't been making any connections in over 100
that's
years.
That's not what they're asking
I think the problem I have with the first one is that they're all in the town. I feel like you could have this story, but there's no expectation for the DM to ever bring it into play.
That's fine. But also, like, the player said themselves is literally like, they asked me to like trim it down a little bit. Uh-huh. And I said no. Like, you asked if this would be cool for them, and they said no. Uh-huh. Like, you have
if
have
two
an answer,
DMs
right?
say this to you, I think if in anything, if two people say the same thing to you, kind of separate from each other, then you do have to be like, huh.
Right.
I'm going through every single character I've ever played, and I've never had this many NPCs in my backstory.
Maximum 2.
I feel like it's like 2 to 3.
It's mom, dad.
Yeah. <Right. laughs> And I think you like go into towns and you're like, would I know somebody here? This person is in the same line of work. Would I know this person? And then the DM can throw you a bone, and like they're helping you build your backstory as you're going.
You know what? Yeah. Maybe this person is coming at, I think that maybe it could be you're coming at the backstory from the wrong angle, which is that it's not your relationships that always make the character. There's a lot more going on with the character beyond relationships. Maybe you're the kind of person who thinks relationally, and so that's like a helpful prompt for you. But maybe it's worth you kind of being like, okay, refine the NPCs and then work on other character traits or other stories or things that could have happened that aren't
dependent on an NPC.
I also think that you guys are right when you say like it's more about the 8 local NPCs than it is about like whatever complicated thing you have in your backstory of it's just like I've got somebody who like pushed me out of town and I've got 2 parents who are divorced and they're married to new people or whatever. That's whatever. That's for you.
Yeah.
And your, and if the DM decides to use that as a plot hook, that's cool. I think what the DMs are trying to avoid here is having to play characters that they're not inspired to play.
Yeah.
That only one person at the table knows.
Yes.
Yeah.
That is letting you in on information that maybe you would otherwise know.
If you're in a town and you know 6 people and no one else and have intense relationships with those 6 people and no one else at the table does, that will feel weird.
It's going to be so lopsided is the thing.
Yeah. I think also like when you give the story of the person who has like 4 adventurers who fucked them over, that is so good. You need nothing else. Like that is so fun to me that like just make that your story. And you can, if you want to like also in your head be like, yeah, I have family that I haven't talked to in a while. That's fine. But focus on the I got fucked over by this adventuring party and they're my nemesis and they're MIA. Where are they? Yeah.
That's especially great because then like if it's another adventuring party, you can just pair them with each person in your current adventuring party and each get a little foil to mess with.
Also like when you're playing in a game and somebody's DMing for you, like you have to give the DM room to play. They're playing too. They have to play who they want to play.
Yeah.
So like even with Hard One grew up at the Dwarfenage and stuff, so he didn't have as many connections in the first campaign. But when you look at like Moonshine and Bev, when we talked beforehand, we were kind of like, this is kind of what their relationship with their family's like. This is where they're from and everything. But when Bev showed up, it was just like, this is Scoutmaster Denny, somebody I created. Caldwell, your character knows this character.
Yeah.
And then that's where we go with it. It's just like, you know Scoutmaster Denny. This is your Scoutmaster.
Yeah, I didn't show up with like a paragraph about Scoutmaster Denny.
You were like, I know Scoutmaster Denny. Mm-hmm. I already know Shay. Mm-hmm. I already know all of the people in the Barbarian House. I know 4 or 5 other people in Moonstone.
That would have been so crazy for Moonshine and Hard One if Bev just knew everyone in town.
What's up? I have lines of credit at this restaurant, this restaurant, this store.
Like it definitely could work as a story, but if it was like, Bev not only knows everyone and also has a backstory with everyone that then Murph has to be juggling the whole time.
Right. I think that, I think this DM and, you know, not every DM is like a professional improviser or something. And and like, I guess technically I am, and I would struggle with this. Yeah. If somebody was like, we're in this city right now, and in addition to all of the characters that you've already created, I also might just ask to go talk to one of the 8 people that I know. And then I have to come up with unique voices for them, backgrounds, what they know, what they don't know.
Yeah. Like I'm thinking about all my characters. It's like even like the current campaign, Calliope, it's like her backstory is her mom and her sister. Mm-hmm. But then Murph had a criminal that he was like, why don't we have her be staying with Krugen? So it's like he had an NPC he already wanted to play that he was like, what about a relationship with this person that you've like been staying with for a bit? Great.
Yeah. Yeah. It feels like this person is giving the DM like not, they think they're giving the DM hooks, but they're just giving them too many options. Like you don't need like
that's a really
9
good call.
Different hooks to be like, hey, take what you want. It's like, that's a little, actually a little overwhelming.
Just give them, I got fucked over by an adventuring party and here I am.
Yeah. And I think a goal is more important than a backstory also. Because it like dictates you moving forward and you don't have to like download somebody on everything that's ever happened to you. That stuff should come out slowly over
time. Also just more like, I think, you know, you're presenting it as if you're doing work for the DM or something like that. But like you're saying, you're just creating more work for them.
Yeah.
Right. You're making them come up with several hooks that are just personal to you based on like 12 different characters.
Yeah.
Like that's just not necessary.
Right. You're playing in the DM's world. They aren't DMing.
And it's a compromise. And I think even the way this was worded at the end, I think shows that this person's not willing to compromise, where they're like, either I have 14 NPCs that I know that you create specifically for me, or else my backstory is boring.
Yeah.
And that when I hear that, I'm like, red flag, red flag, red flag, red
also,
flag.
Also, going back to Calliope, I remember I was like, it'd be fun if like she's focusing on like some ex-boyfriend and you were like, oh, I have a character for that. So it was like a collaboration. It wasn't me being like, here's my idea for her ex-boyfriend. It was like, I think it'd be fun if she starts out and like seems like she's just like really low status focusing on this guy. And Murph was like, that plays into perfectly to something. I have his guy. His name is Glenn.
Here's an analogy that I have that I think makes sense. It's like giving Murph like a ball of clay versus giving him action figures.
Ooh.
Like, here's all my people. You play the
game. You're knocking it out of the park on this one. You're giving him too many options. A goal is better. It's giving him an action figure instead of a ball of clay. You know what? Thank you, Justice Hurwitz.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
This isn't Boston.
Jill, Gemma, come. They did it. They did it. I said your clay thing and they did it.
Oh shit, he took that. He took that from his kid. Disbarred.
Oh, sorry. That's plagiarism.
So with that,
let's sentence this player.
I think we have to sentence the player.
Mm-hmm.
You know what?
I feel like the sentencing is just like, think about it differently, right? Think about goals, less NPCs.
I'm going to sentence the player to start DMing because it sounds like you got a lot of ideas for stories. It seems like you really want to create a world. And you're kind of forcing the DM's hand a little bit too much.
That's beautiful. Right. That's really good.
And you thinking that it's boring to have a simpler backstory maybe means that you're ready.
Yeah,
you're
ready. You just don't. You don't
want
to just do one character.
Creative
challenge.
Spread your wings.
Right. Yeah.
Spread your wings.
Pick up the clay. Put it on the wheel.
pick up the action figure.
Because
the
you're
clay,
right. Whatever. Being a DM is putting action figures in front of your friends.
Yeah.
That's great.
And I think
I made this of your clay.
You're ready for the clay.
That was gorgeous.
That was so gorgeous.
Should we? It was so gorgeous. I'm so moved by the spirit. Should we take it over to church?
Yeah.
Yeah. It was so gorgeous. Right. It's so ordered. Mm-hmm. And now it is time to move into the Church of Dice Christ. We have a confession from one James H.
Okay.
James writes, "Dearest Cardinals of the Crit, I have a confession to make, which I fear may result in my excommunication from the church.
During the pandemic,
I started DMing a game for some friends over Zoom. All was going well for a few months before I started to notice that people were distracted by other things or just not really engaged in the game, and we were all just going through the motions. It was in this time that I strayed from the light of Dice Christ.
Oh, no.
In order to keep my interest in the game, I would simply roll the dice for a check or attack, and whatever number popped into my head that I believed would be the most interesting result was the number that I announced to the group. I didn't abuse this power and just want my players, but sometimes a 7 just seems more interesting than the 19 Dice Christ gives you. The game eventually fizzled out and we stopped playing, but it has played on my mind since. And every now and then when playing, I get the itch to just say the most interesting number. I throw myself at the mercy of the church and am willing to accept any punishment, however severe. I just need to be clean.
I think you got the punishment. It fizzled out.
Yeah.
I also think, like, I have to say that, like, what you did was wild. But I think it came from a place of wanting to keep people engaged.
Yeah.
So it was a wild thing to do. But I think that your heart was in the right place, even though it was really wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know can't what? See all us. We're all in the box. There's just like a little grate between us, but we're all shaking our heads. And we're just clenching.
We're sitting
our
on
legs.
Each other's laps and shaking our heads we're just, into each other's
it's
backs.
It's so hot. It's so hot. Yeah, but you
we're
know.
We're all trying to inch closer to Caldwell.
We're all just trying to get close to that.
Tiny. Tiny like one of your cherry stems.
I think that, you know, Dice Christ was telling you that you're not going to save this campaign with quote unquote interesting rules. I do think it's funny the idea of like a game kind of falling apart, but somebody like going home being like, you know, I really wasn't having fun, but then we crit. And now I want to hang out with everyone again.
I'm just picturing this DM going home being like, I need new numbers, bigger numbers. Just writing 21 on a chalkboard. Yeah, like, that's it.
It's not the fact
the numbers.
That people have really complicated lives outside of this hobby. It's the fact that the numbers aren't there.
We got to make the numbers bigger, George.
We got to make them bigger or smaller.
Whoa.
I think you've learned that it's not about the rolls. The rolls are random for a reason. It makes it more fun, and it's more fun. It'll be more fun for you than if you're. I think like the biggest punishment here is that now you've got it in your head that you need to make rolls interesting. That's an option.
Right. You don't.
And now you're sitting there probably debating every single roll as if you should tell the truth or not.
It was mostly COVID that was weighing on people.
Yeah, I think so.
Totally.
Yeah, it wasn't the numbers.
It was Zoom.
It was Zoom fatigue. It wasn't the numbers.
Yeah, that happened to everybody. You took it on your shoulders.
You thought that, but it wasn't you.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely wasn't you. But yeah, I think this campaign was going to fizzle out no matter how interesting the numbers were.
Do you think we should give this person like some sort of like punishment dice to keep them honest? Maybe it's a little prickly.
Oh, interesting. Oh.
What does that do?
What does that make them not?
Just like they'll touch it and it'll like prick them a little bit.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so it has literal thorns like on it.
Yeah, it's like a little sea urchin.
Okay.
That's kind of cool. It's like a hair shirt, but for dice.
Yeah, I love that idea. A sea urchin dice. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a sea urchin. When I was in college, I had a, I don't know why my mom got me this. All of her presents for me are a true indication that she knows me. She got me a huge dehydrated puffer fish that was covered in spines.
Like a That's real awesome. One?
Yeah, I think it was real.
And it was mounted?
I mean, I just put it like on a shelf.
Where the fuck is it now?
Fuck, I don't know. It might have broken in storage. I also had a huge martini glass that was like so comically huge and that
shattered. You could have put the puffer in there.
I think the puffer spent some time in the martini glass, but that got shattered in storage between like sophomore and junior year.
Em also had a graduation present that was a frog that was like holding a platter. He's like super tall.
He's a frog butler.
And what was his name? It was like Frederick or something?
Well, Lord Franklin.
Wasn't that guy in your house for a bit?
Oh, I've met him. Franklin. Lord Franklin's around.
Lord Franklin is still in my house.
Lord Franklin's around. I don't know. Where's Lord Franklin?
He's in my office.
He's in your office. Lord Franklin's around. He's still here. He's
Lord hiding. Franklin watches over me.
Yes. Great. Do we want to
end on one more of your
of the game show?
Oh, yeah, perfect, of the game
show. We need a better name for the game show.
We'll do only the game show on short rest, right?
Oh, they... No, but we will be returning to the game show.
Okay.
All right.
Well, how about wait. Spell check.
Spell check?
Mm-hmm. Spell check. Oh, that's good. Spell check.
All right.
Okay.
Em, introduce spell check. You got to kind of host it up.
We've got
spell check 5e. Okay, go ahead.
Four components for this one.
Okay.
A bit of fur, a rod of amber, a rod of crystal, and a rod of glass.
A lot of rods. Rod heavy.
Buzz, summon steed.
Incorrect.
Fuck. I feel like it's got to be one of those with like a name in front of it, some sort of wizard's name. That doesn't help me any further though.
Can you repeat the components?
A bit of fur, a rod of amber, a rod of crystal, and a rod of glass.
Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Okay. Summon beast? Is that a spell?
I don't know if it is.
Summon greater familiar maybe?
I think summon beast might be a spell, but it is not that.
Okay, I'm gonna say polymorph.
It is lightning bolt.
Whoa! Okay, glass.
Amber, rod of glass.
Yeah. Okay. Out.
Why the fur though?
That I don't understand. Clue. Maybe it needs to light on fire.
Oh, for the static electricity.
Oh, I love that.
Damn.
Okay.
Well, this is kind of interesting.
Mert's okay. His podium.
I'm kind of interested. All right. It's definitely a puzzle. Reading it, it's a puzzle. I don't know that it's the most entertaining thing to listen to, but I'm kind of into it. It's oddly interesting to play. It's kind of interesting to play. Let us know. You know, normally I'm like, I don't want you to yell at me in the comments, but let us know if you like the spell components game. If you
maybe
like spell
we'll
check.
Do it for a mixed bag.
We'll do it for a mixed bag. Yeah. No, we're gonna bring it over to the short rest.
We'll do both.
We'll do our pilot episode in the short rest.
Yeah.
We're mostly going to do cases, but we're going to throw one or two in there.
It gives my brain the same tingle when you find out like, oh, that's why that Pokemon is weak against that one.
Yeah.
Okay.
With that, we'll go ahead and wrap this one up. You can listen to our bonus cases and some more spell check, the game show that's sweeping the nation that I don't know if I like or not. over
so tepidly so sweeping tepidly. The nation.
Everyone likes
like
to play
a
it.
Lukewarm.
People don't like to watch it.
Like a lukewarm, impotent breeze.
It's so yeah. funny to picture you as the Simon Cowell, but being like, I don't know about
I don't
this.
Know. Yeah, just being like, I don't know how we got the money to make this show. I'm having fun watching it. Or I'm having fun being a part of it. I don't know if I'd watch it. Anyway, yeah, you can check that out over on patreon.com/nadpod. That's mm-hmm. NADDPOD. Don't sing yet.
Wee!
No.
Fine.
And we do have some things that we'd like to plug. Does anybody, would anyone like to lead it off?
I'll just say that I finished Sabriel from the Old Kingdom series, and I really enjoyed it. So I already plugged that because someone sent it to the P.O. box, but I'm saying at the other end of the book, I'm on to the next Old Kingdom book.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Nice. Mm-hmm. And I will plug our live shows, which are coming up at the end of the summer. I believe Portland sold out, but there are tickets available to the other ones. So check out nadpod.com/live.
I've got dates here. September 13th, we're in Minneapolis. September 14th, Minneapolis. We're in Madison, Wisconsin. September 15th, we're in Milwaukee. September 16th, we're in Chicago. October 26th, we're in Los Angeles. October 27th, we're in Denver. October 28th, we're in Sacramento. October 29th, we're in Portland. November 10th, we're in Las Vegas. November 14th, we're in New Orleans. November 15th, we're in Orlando, and November 17th we're in Fort Lauderdale.
Ooh. Yes, man, we're on the move.
We are on the move.
We're on the move. Very excited.
Pin us down. We're moving. We're vibrating. Nadpod.com/live, and while you're there, go to nadpod.com/store.
Yeah,
check out some merch because we got some new stuff up in there.
Yeah,
brand new drops
dropping all the time.
Right on. You can follow us on social media that we may or may not use at Sage vs. Me, at Caldy's Caldwell, at Astro's Emily, and at Jake Hurwitz's Jake. And you can tweet about the show using #NADPOD, that's NADDPOD.
We are the youth of the nation. We are the youth of the nation.
Dungeon. Folks, the end of our show has arrived once more, which means it's time to shout out our benevolent, cunning, clever, fantastic, radiant Council of Elders. Brad D., Jeffrey S., UC, Later McSkater, Matt M., Cutter W., Feared Owl, Daniel G., Dungeon Mama, parentheses, okay, maybe a little bit sexual, Danielle, the Dastardly Dame, Beard Man Dan, Danny P., Vincent W., Victor T., a.k.a. Balnor's Boy, Hoyd's Friend, Justin I., Ragnar Fairwind, TJM, Treylay, The Cray, Christopher B., Damiel R., Jordan L.,
Cyborg version of Josh the Kobold, beep boop,
a wiggly whittle wife worm, aw, Princess Yar, Michael L., Jack L., Sam L., Nicholas C., star of every film ever made in Bohemia, now starring as a tin of beans in Hard One's reality show, Airship Interiors. Samuel B., Mike H., Alka-Smeltzer Plus, Great Value Gemma, Adam G., Tyler F., Panama James, Heradrian, Rex Thaniel the White, Diana De Los Lopez, Cece Lulu, Timmy R., Lucas B., Reiko, It's Kevin, Calder Will Come Cold Again, Winter Is Coming, #CCC Forever, shout out to my fairy followers. Ooh, it's hot in California, but it is cold in my heart. Thank you once again. CCC forever. Taylor B., the Vengeful One-Winged Angel. Cass, Skateboard Cass. Captain of the Stevens, Stephen Cole. Mike K., Lady Taco. Jake L., Nick W., Swashbuckling Swag Snagger. William W., Big Bad Beardo the Mad, Eric McD, Riot Ryan, Hungry Dave's Frisbee Golf Bud, Ryan, when are we playing, dude? I keep trying to text you, my man. Ananarama, Percival Frederickstein von Mussel Klasowski de Rolo III, Item, the Simple Dimples, J. Dragonborn, Vincent, Thrum as You Are, Daniels, the Sandrayan, Ben A., Dave H., Catherine S., David K., Christian S., Dustin S., Connor F., Hawkeye Pierce, Bookvar's assistant, Izzy F., DPC is awesome, Sean, the Shade Tree Mechanic of Zelbuldar, Summer Rose, a.k.a. Grantaire, Marky Mark, the Marvelous Mining Engineer, Cat C., Kel Slay, Misa of House in Zunza, Ariel, the Occasional Mermaid, Selena N., a.k.a. Velaciraptor, B. Perky Always, Pat L., Savexel, Achutha A., Lauren H., Talia, Ryan S., The Bone Duster, Ball Business Illustrator, insert request. You know what? I would just love to see Duck Team and all their friends just hanging out in a hot spring, you know, having a nice time, just chilling out, finally catching a break for once. Thank you. Ploops! Carly A., Addie K., Connor S., Salil, Leviathan, BioQuart 7, Amber Dextrous, Sullivan H., Trub Hop Dropper, Sydney Tatum, Jack Hubert, Crabster Champion of Crod, Scuttling Sideways Towards Tomorrow, Snip Snip, my friend, Snip Snip, Afriex, Lindsay W., Juicy Kiwi, Valen, Carlin C., Emily S., Noah, the Bagel of All Things, James G., Everything Bago, the Aladrin who just wants to hang out with his pet badger, Stripey, Dandy, Eric B., Marcos P., Learns, the Balanced Druid, Dakota James P., Frida M., Pagos, Betrothed, Self-Proclaimed, Fae Prince, Tracy P., the Crick Elf Librarian, Andy E., Holly Hyena, Kristen Z., Leia C., Hunter H., May B., Pixel Stars, Akash T., Cal, just Cal, Commodore Galaxy, Edison N., Russell H., A Monk Named Dilgo, yes, the whole thing, yes, every time. Our dream friend Simon singing Game Over and saying eternal sleep is better than facing Morpheus alone again. Wow. Keychains Pentium 2 processor, thank you. Lorelei the Succubus and Kyra, her busty queen. Turt Cobain, the Tortle Barbarian. Your friendly neighborhood Yaunt and Yunkle, Andrew and Sid. John Adams, yes, like the president. Meg, the mail carrier manager of Bohemia, who's gotten promoted due to her superb service to Simon. Congrats. James F., M4L, Austin S., Wayfarer, has now settled into their new life in the Fae Realm as a florist. What could go wrong? Barpo Goodbarrel, Barbarian, and Brewer Emeritus of Waterdeep. Mary Beth C., Melora, Devotee. Galateron! Wow, the entire city. Thank you so much. Welshlander, Garrett G., a.k.a. One Big Curd. Mr. D., Dana the Daisy. Sean J., Ethan B., Renee the Monster Captain. Gabrielle W., Rinkerbell. Box Clifton, the Once and Medium King. Shout out. Hope's Dagger, the only dagger of hope. Olivia, the enchanting bard, who is working hard on her audition for the lead singer of the Mountain Crows. Yeah! Winter Slade? Forrest H., a.k.a. Life is like a box of Martha Togold's sticky buns. Riley S., Fico, Angry Wheat. Anthony Murphboy and his tallywhacker. God bless. Josh H., Mango Empanadas. Clementine T., Caleb L., this message has been brought to you by fairies in support of hashtag CCC, keeping me cool this summer. Thanks, y'all. Alex R., Bunker Master, and Player Disaster. Cantrip Dumbledore, the bear onesie-wearing barbarian. MJ, the BFG, drinking tea by the sea. Dogs of Babel. Calvius Silverfang. Gino T., Mama Bell. The Silver Serpent herself. Please save my subterranean son. Ah, we're trying. Funir, Bow Chicka Wow Wow, Derek D, Tristan G, Leon Kumori, legendary hero of Bohemia from a future campaign. Wow, can't wait to meet you. Jazzman and Fam, Papa's elite team of lawyers, currently representing Emily in the case of Yabba Dabba Do, No Sir, Yabba Dabba Don't. Alex K, Joshua P, Joshua S, Alexander, Linz W, Angel La Pamela Sandra Hyphen Rita. Emma S. Red, the Reforged, Warforged. Dragon Knight 86, the Godly King. Hard Ones, Hot Hump Gunk. Shell B, now made it to 2019, chasing the two crew back to 2023, avoided the honey trap, and smoked a bowl with Alanis. You were living right, Shell B. Evan S, Jake S, Stale Bread on Salad, aka Crouton. Aw, love you, Crouton. Jackson R, T3RHX, Terhex, not sure how to pronounce that one. Michelle, Andrew S, Nova B, the Deathcore Bard. Caitlin D, Zborb, Blake H, Big Bev's Bestie, Lloyd the Rat That Controls My Cerebellum, Appa Remy from Ratatouille Style, Drax G, Papa Sky Days, Mima Sky Days, and Haley the Human. Whew, that is all of our elders. Thank you all so much for your kind generosity. If you would like to join this illustrious number, you can do so by going to patreon.com/nadpod. Thank you all so much for listening, and we will catch you next week. Bye-bye.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.